Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Washington Bureau Chief for Alternet, Adele Stan, who has uncovered the real dark side of the Republican presidential frontrunner Herman Cain, not his payoff to women who claimed he sexually harassed them, but Cain's connection to the Koch brothers' political machine that has employed his campaign manager Mark Block and illegally finances Cain's campaign through Koch-funded tax-exempt front groups. Then we'll discuss the U.S. withdrawal from Iraq with senior research fellow at Yale University, Emmanuel Wallenstein, who considers the December 31st pullout of American troops a U.S. defeat comparable to the loss of the Vietnam War, with the likelihood that the remaining police advisors in the Green Zone will need a lot of protection by security guards who will not have immunity, and that Muqtada al-Sadr will emerge as Iraq's main power broker. Wallenstein argues that we are witnessing the U.S. in a serious decline, a new reality that only fringes on the American left refuse to see. Then finally, with six U.S. senators calling for a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United, we will speak with Lawrence Lessig about his new book, Republic Lost, How Money Corrupts Congress and a Plan to Stop It. He argues that corruption is the common enemy of the left and the right in America, and that until the citizenry stands up and cleans house in Washington, our money-driven electoral and campaign system will continue to serve only the 1% at the expense of the remaining 99%. I'm now joined by Adele Stan, who is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has an article on alternet.org called "The End of Herman Cain, The End of the Herman Cain Campaign Question, It's Not What You Think." Welcome to Background Briefing, Adele Stan.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And this revelations that have come out both from your work and from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel are so much more explosive than sexual harassment charges, which of course have been dominating the headlines for the last couple of days. He seemed to have dodged a bullet, largely because I think at the National Press Club it was a pretty softball questioning of him, but both he and his campaign manager dug a hole by denying what they then had to later retract partially on Fox News.
Right.
There was a brief mention in the introduction by the head of the National Press Club of Cain's connection to the Kochs, but why do you think this is not something that the rest of the press are focusing on?
Well, it doesn't involve sex, for one thing. yes, you know, while Washington is drooling over this sex scandal, you know, the dogged reporters in Milwaukee, especially Dan Bice, who he's done amazing work on this at the Sentinel, the Journal Sentinel, have been really going through, you know, very messy records of statements of profit and loss for this defunct nonprofit, Prosperity USA, that was used by Mark Block, the campaign manager of Herman Cain, to pay for campaign expenses, and that's quite illegal. But why, you know, I do think that, you know, sex is always going to, you know, take precedence, but also I think it's been a real slog to get mainstream media, corporate media, to acknowledge the role of the Koch brothers in the Cain campaign, and to really acknowledge the role of the Kochs, you know, in the immensity of their role in United States politics. You know, some of us who cover the Kochs often are made to feel as if we're some kind of conspiracy theorists
right,
for doing so. And I did consider it quite a victory when Cain's Koch connections was mentioned in the intro at the National Press Club, because that was not what we have come to expect.
Well, if it's not about sex, but it is about money, and quite a lot of money, and Block, his campaign, Mark Block, the campaign manager, he apparently had cut quite a swath through campaign laws in Wisconsin. He had paid a $15,000 fine. He'd been banned for a number of years from participating.
Right.
3 years, right? And
yeah,
then the minute he gets unbanned, he signs on with the Koch brothers to lead up Americans for Prosperity in Wisconsin. And boy, is he successful. He gets two right-wing congressmen, Tea Party congressmen, Sean Duffy and Reid Ribble elected, along with Rob Johnson, who replaced U.S. Senator Russell Feingold, not to mention the notorious governor of Wisconsin.
That's right, and a whole lot of legislators in the Wisconsin legislature, you know, and without them you wouldn't have had that anti-collective bargaining law. And I should, for purposes of full disclosure, say that I do do some blogging for the AFL-CIO blog. But yes, I mean, Block is astonishingly successful, but he does use some underhanded methods. As we saw in the recall elections, the Americans for Prosperity put out those what looked like applications for absentee ballots that told people, you know, the wrong day to deliver their applications. In 2010, he was involved in a voter caging operation, voter caging designed to suppress the student vote and the African-American vote in significant precincts in Milwaukee. The guy just has it coming and going. But here's the thing. It seems that the, you know, election law in Wisconsin is a bit better than at the federal level. I mean, he, even though he has egregiously transgressed Federal Election Commission code, I'm told that's a rather toothless agency these days. So, you know, just exactly when this will catch up with him from a legal perspective, I don't know.
But it would seem, though, but for your reporting and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the rest of the press and the rest of the country see Mark Block as a somewhat comical and bizarre character smoking a cigarette on a somewhat surreal campaign ad for Herman Cain. None of this stuff is
correct.
This is who he should be famous for.
Right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I think that what happens in a media narrative often is that something, the media get excited about something really bright and shiny and new. And then, you know, that becomes the story. That mm-hmm. becomes the story. And Cain was just such an unexpected figure, and one who did quite well, that I don't know. But I do think there is this sort of reluctance to really lift the curtain and to look at the role of David Koch and the people he employs and what their backgrounds are. And nobody really about Herman Cain as really, you know, a Koch sponsored candidate. Very few people are. And that's really what he's doing. That's what he's there for, is to represent David Koch in the primaries.
Again, I'm joined by Adele Stan, who's Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has an article on alternet.org called "The End of the Herman Cain Campaign Question: It's Not What You Think." Now, the money that's been funneled through 501c3s, tax-exempt foundations, which are regulated by the IRS, you are only supposed to educate, you're not supposed to advocate.
Right.
And the last thing you can do is finance campaigns, political campaigns. I mean, they railroaded an Episcopalian minister out here in Pasadena for making an anti-war statement in a sermon during the Iraq War. Yes, the IRS went after him. It was a bit of a reach, but mm-hmm. this what they've been doing is so flagrant. It's amazing. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars have been funneled through this defunct 501c3 Prosperity USA to pay for the woman who sang the song. That's Herman Cain's campaign theme song.
Right.
The guy that wrote it, her husband, he gets, you know, paid in a couple of different ways. I mean, it's just walk us through this.
Don't forget the private jets. The private jet travel for Herman Cain. He can't fly coach. He flies on
he flies Coke, right?
Yes. To go to Americans for Prosperity events after he had already declared his candidacy, and then to appear at another right-wing event, and it was noted on the profit and loss statement that Bice uncovered that it was at the request of Americans for Prosperity that he was appearing at that event. And he's taking private jets to these events.
So is it possible that the speaking fee that he didn't get, he actually got? What was that money for? It's a bit mysterious.
Yes, well, that is really something, and, you know, it's not quite nailed down. Here's what we do know about it, was that using this Prosperity USA nonprofit, the Congress of Racial Equality, which is actually a right-wing organization, had they were given $100,000. That was raised in loans to Prosperity USA, who then gave it to this Congress of Racial Equality. Then the next thing we know is Herman Cain is the keynote speaker at their awards dinner. And Bice, in his report, said, well, apparently Cain did not receive a speaker's fee for that. But a couple weeks ago, Jane Mayer of The New Yorker had been looking into Cain's speaking fees, noting that they do not appear. There are none listed on his FEC forms. And she found that he has this separate company called New Voice, that his speakers bureau likely pays this separate company whatever he takes in speakers fees. So in other words, you know, the fee would go to his speakers bureau, the speakers bureau would pay his company, and that would not be reflected on his Federal Election Commission statements. So we don't know. We don't know whether or not he got paid for that. He could have very well been paid a fee by CORE, by the Congress of Racial Equality, for that speech, but to his speakers bureau.
So, Adele Stan, there's been some speculation because of the bizarre nature of this campaign, and particularly the commercials that he did, the strange Western that he made, along with the aggressively anti-PC smoking ad featuring Mark Block. And it seems to me this campaign, even though they're the Republican frontrunners, there's only two of them, Herman Cain and Mark Block. It all seems extraordinary. He makes the most absurd, ignorant, and racist comments in these debates, and nobody seems to pull him over for it.
Right.
He has a bizarre, 999 thing that is very catchy, and people have been laughing about it. It would, of course, impoverish Americans even further and enrich the Kochs even further if it were ever adopted. But the speculation is that he's actually, and this is also applies to Michelle Bachmann, that they're really in this race, and I guess you could also apply this to Newt Gingrich. They're in this race to raise their profiles and therefore raise their speaking fees, and that's what it's all about, selling books and having high speaking fees.
Well, I think that in the case of Gingrich and Cain, that is correct. I mean, I think that's probably what Herman Cain saw in it for himself. You know, as Tom Hartman called it, the Herman Cain retirement plan. And possibly a Fox News job and all that comes with that. In terms of Bachmann, you know, I think that she really may have had intentions of seeing herself as running as the number two on the ticket. I really do. I think that she may have been positioning herself, or may still be trying to position herself, for a vice presidential nomination.
So that she's like Sarah Palin light, is that the idea?
Well, I mean, Palin did sort of pave, you know, did cut that path.
Right. But she's completely disappeared, and so to some extent has Michelle Bachmann. So the best laid plans.
Yeah, they're on the wane right now.
But the real question now, Adele Stan, is what's in it for the Kochs? If they're financing this campaign of Herman Cain's, and they seem to be the biggest financiers through these various nonprofit front groups, and of course, using a nonprofit for electioneering is highly illegal, but I don't know what the IRS are doing in this case. What is their motive? It's very mysterious, because this guy is not going to win.
Right.
So are they running him as a spoiler? Is there somebody in that race they want to block?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily that they want to block somebody, but they want to bend the positions of whomever the nominee is to their side. So what you've seen with Herman Cain, right, in his ridiculous 999 plan, well, what happens next? Rick Perry comes out with a flat tax plan, Mitt Romney will be pushed to have a more flat, you know, tax proposal. What they will do is they will do two things. They'll push the positions of whomever is the nominee more towards the Koch positions. And two, the longer that Kane stays in the race and is able to remain popular, and of course with all of this turmoil, we'll see how it shakes out a few weeks from now. But if he can remain popular and pick up delegates through the primary, those delegates will still be pledged to him until he releases them at the convention. So that gives them sway at the convention as to what's in the platform. I saw them do this with Bob Dole in 96, where Pat Buchanan, you know, had enough delegates to exact a whole lot of concessions from the Dole people, and in fact the writing of the Republican platform was handed over to Phyllis Schlafly and Babe Buchanan, and then Dole had to run on that platform. And so I see that this is more of that kind of a game.
Well, they certainly have enormous resources. Do you think the somewhat extraneous sexual stuff is going to sink him? I mean, it is pretty appalling that that's the focus.
It's hard, you know. And I keep, you know, I'm going back and forth on this and back and forth on this because, I mean, the thing is, if he came out, see, you do have this evangelical base, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who do not take kindly to, you know, to this kind of a thing, unless. The penitent, you know, beats his chest, mea culpa, and asks forgiveness. And then, I mean, you know, redemption is very big in that culture. So, and the other thing is, you can bet that the women who have accused Kane will be accused of being Democrats and of being Jezebels and of, you know, and they will be smeared, you know.
Yeah, but there were sealed deals for that specifically because they sealed these settlements. The women can't speak. That would seem to be deliberate.
Yes, well, we'll see what happens with that because Kane may have actually broken the deal by speaking himself. So there's a whole lot of legal thinking going on right now as to whether or not one of these women will be able to speak.
I'm just curious, though, how you would get out of, how would you expiate in a good Christian self-flagellating way about sexually harassing women, saying, you know, Jimmy Carter once said that he lusted after women in his heart.
Well, because it wouldn't be his fault. It would be the fault of the women.
They were angling for money.
I mean, and he was helpless in their thrall.
That's right. And they were really after his money.
I mean, just look at the Bible. How are women depicted? You know? Jezebel, Eve. I mean, it's always the woman's fault, right? So I do think he could survive the sex scandals if they, you know, depending on how they go. It's possible.
Well, but as long as it goes on, it also distracts people from what you are reporting, Adele Stan, and what the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal are reporting. And that's the story, really.
If the IRS would actually go after this and a prosecutor would take it up, or the IRS, its own prosecutorial, you know, it has its own courts and everything, would take it up, then that would be something.
Well, they, as I say, they went after an Episcopalian out here, a minister. And you know what they say about the Episcopalian? The Jews are God's chosen people and the Episcopalians are God's frozen people. So this poor rector got reamed by the IRS, you know, for saying that something was wrong with the Iraq war.
Oh, my.
It's something of a double standard, I would argue.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, and I'm sure if the IRS were set upon poor little Herman Cain, that, you know, it would be blamed on the president. But we'll see what happens. My gut is that the powers that be are probably going to want to get Cain out of the way pretty soon.
Well, if you're in the White House, you'd probably want him to keep running.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is, you know.
And if you're becoming the Cokes, you've got some other agenda. I suspect what you're saying is that it really does make sense, that it's all about moving the agenda in terms of the Republican
platform.
Moving the
needle. It's all about moving the needle. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, thanks so much, Ian, for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Adele Stan, who's Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has an article on alternet.org called "The End of the Herman Cain Campaign Question, It's Not What You Think." We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about how the U.S. lost Iraq just like Vietnam.
You heard it on the radio, tape it, play it in your stereo, your crew will go ape it. Raw lyrics, he smells them like a hunch, the same intuition that tells him spike the punch. Curses, he's truly ferocious, with enough rhymes to spread throughout the boundless universes. Let the beat blast, she told him wear the mask, he said you better scoop ass. It's made of fine chrome alloy, find him on the grind, he's the rhinestone cowboy.